Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, as we prepare our hearts now for the receiving of your word, I ask God to speak only as you can, to bless your word. May it do a good work among us. And Lord, we are grateful for the compassionate heart of our Savior and pray, oh God, that his healing hand will even reach down and touch us today where we need healing from you. May your will be done. May your kingdom come as your word is now proclaimed in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take a sip of water. I was anticipating doing this during the second verse. Much better. Something about antihistamines dry me out. But friends, I want to share with you in A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he suggests that individuals will move towards their image of God. Now think about that. Individuals will move towards their image of God. So if you think of God as one who is a judgmental, angry God, you're more likely to retract from that. But if you think of God as grace-filled and loving and compassionate, then you are more drawn to God and want to be in his presence. Imagine the person that doesn't or isn't sure that God even exists. And if they're not sure that God even exists, or they're agnostic, as we would say, then they are going to be going to deal with the problems of this world, the heartaches of this life, trusting in the support of their own systems, their own well-being and their own strength, or maybe possibly those who care around them. But friends, we know that oftentimes those that are around us don't always show up when we desperately need them. And sometimes, let's be honest, it's hard for us to ask for help. And so we just want to draw, first of all, to our attention that the leper in the scripture today has a very positive understanding of who Jesus is. He believes that Jesus is compassionate. He believes by what he's observed that Jesus can bring healing to him. And so he is drawn to him, even though he is violating the protocols of the day, which would have said that he had to keep at least 6 feet away from people and oftentimes to cry out when around large crowds, "Unclean, unclean, don't come near me, I have leprosy." And as Brandy shared so beautifully in the children's message, you would have been drawn into a world of isolation, maybe some community among other lepers, but a very lonely place to be. And yet he's drawn to Jesus. And I love that about Jesus here. And when he approaches him, did you notice the word? Now, this word is not in Mark's gospel account of this, but it's in Matthew's. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me." And Jesus' response is, "I am willing." But I love the acknowledgement that Jesus is not just another rabbi, not just a healing man or a prophet. Jesus is identified here as Lord, and we who are gathered here together know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and we acknowledge it. And the other thing that I want you to point out here is the posture of the man. He kneels before Jesus. Now, the word in Greek is proskuneo, and it means to bow down before. And throughout the New Testament, we find when this word is present, it is in an act of worship. So we can maybe borrow from context and how the word is used in other places that this man is bowing in humble worship. He's declaring Jesus to be Lord, and he's asking for healing. He has confidence. He doesn't say, "Well, Jesus, if you can heal me." He says, "If you are willing, you can heal me. He confidently approaches Jesus. He bows down before him in worship. He addresses him as Lord, and he boldly states again, if you're willing, you can do this. And let's just notice Jesus's response. He is not appalled by the boldness of the man. He's not set back as if to say, whoa, 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 get away from me. You know, you're filled with leprosy. We don't want this to get to me or to the other disciples. And he's not offended by the boldness of the man in his ask. He is willing to grant the man's request. And as we just sang, probably inspired that beautiful hymn, he touched me. He touched the leper. As if to say, I'm not so worried about whether or not I will get this disease. I am touching you, as we know, as we've seen so beautifully done in hospital rooms, as families gather around loved ones, the touch of the blessing, the touch of the healing, the power of the touch. Jesus brings it all with his touch of this man. I see in this passage, not only this man immediately cleansed, but I see in this passage the heart of our Savior. The heart of our Savior, friends, is compassion. As the words of the English preacher Thomas Goodwin wrote, Christ is love covered over in flesh. He is love that's walking around. He is the love of God that is manifest in people's lives. You can touch him, you can speak to him, you can be in his presence. And that is the power of the incarnation. It is love in the flesh. Now, the law of the day said Jesus must avoid contact with this man. He must keep 6 feet away from him. And friends, he would also, let's just acknowledge that in the room today, that in that time, those with leprosy would, some were considered as religious people, that this man was cursed of God. Something he had done had brought this awful disease upon him, and God was behind it. And so Jesus is radical in his response to this man who is drawn towards him, and we will see that Jesus is also drawn towards him. Jesus has entered the brokenness of our world and not only desires to bring truth, but he also desires to bring healing. Now, I want you to turn back, if your Bible is still open, to Matthew chapter 4. And the verses I want you to see is verse 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, what has just happened? The first couple chapters of Matthew, we have the narrative of the birth of Jesus and the visit of the Magi. In chapter 3 of Matthew, we find the disciples are called to follow Jesus. And at the end of chapter 4, we find it saying that he went about and he was teaching and he was healing. The two-prong approach of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how do we find ourselves in chapters 5, 6, and 7? If you just want to gloss over them, if you were looking back, just 5, 6, and 7, Matthew, unlike the other gospel writers, categorizes things. He puts some narratives together. He puts an instruction in 4:23 about this is what Jesus was about doing. He then takes chapters 5, 6, and 7, and he puts a bunch of teaching together for us. And then in chapter 8, here comes the healing. Chapters 6, 5, 6, and 7, best known for the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who mourn over their sin. Those are the ones who are blessed. All the great teachings of Jesus about fasting, prayer. He teaches about not worrying about things. He talks about building our lives wisely on a strong foundation. And then, as if to switch the tone of the teaching pericopes, we now find in chapter 8, 10 miracles in a row. 10 miracles in a row. It's like, okay, now you've seen that Jesus is a great teacher, even better than Moses. And now I'm going to show you why he's even better than Moses, because he brings the healing power of God with him. He is bringing restoration to a broken world. He is bringing the power to heal. And it begins with 10 miracles, chapters 8 and 9, if you gloss over that in your Bible, over disease, over demons, destructive forces of nature, and even the healing of someone who has died. died and he has brought them back to life. He has that kind of power. And not only do we see Jesus bringing this amazing healing of 10 healings in a row, categorized, put together there for us. Look carefully at chapter 8. We see a healing of a Gentile servant after the leper. We have 8 starts off with a leper, then a Gentile's servant, and then a woman's healing. Now, let me ask you, for those of you who've studied Jewish literature enough and know the people of the biblical times and how the Jews felt about lepers, how they felt about Gentiles, how they felt about women. What does Matthew do? Wow. Chapter 8, here come 10 miracles, hits it right off the bat with a leper and then a Gentile servant and then a woman. Can you see that? And they're all grouped together, ending with this majestic, the raising of one from the dead. And then Matthew 9, 35 through 36, as if he has brought all those healing miracles together. Listen to Matthew 9, 35 through 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Wow, it's almost verbatim what he says in chapter 4. But listen what follows. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And that is a big word for us today, compassion. Compassion, in the Old Testament, several different Hebrew words for compassion. In the New Testament, 3 different words for compassion. I'm not gonna give you the Greek words because, to be honest with you, the last one I could not pronounce. But friends, let's just say this. The first one meant mercy. The second one meant feeling pain in the sight of suffering. But the third one, and it's used 12 times in the Gospels, means to feel sympathy and pity, to have it so much so that your bowels yearn. Because for the Hebrew people, the heart of emotion was in the bowels. That, well, where we would go with that today is that's probably where gut-wrenching compassion comes from. It is felt so deep down within Jesus's soul that his bowels ache when he sees this man in his condition coming towards him who desires healing. Richard Sibes, a Puritan, well-known Anglican theology, wrote a long time ago, when Christ saw the people in misery, his bowels yearned within them. And I love the title of the book that Sibes wrote. Listen to this. The Church's Riches by Christ's Poverty. That's the title of the book. That just says it all, isn't it? We see God in the flesh emptying himself out for us with great compassion, bowel-wrenching, gut-wrenching compassion as he walked this earth, preaching and healing. That's what we see in the gospel. Now, I love the contribution of German theologian Jürgen Bultmann, who points out that healing miracles of Jesus are not the interruption of the natural order, they are the restoration of what God intended from the beginning. We are so used to a broken world. We are so used to broken sound bites of news cycles that just continue to keep it out in front of us. Our lives are hard. We battle disease. We battle estranged relationships. We deal with brokenness in our own lives. And yet it is not the natural that's being disrupted, it is the restoration to what was being. Because let me remind you of this. Jesus came from heaven and returned to heaven. And we know that in heaven, there is no sin, there is no brokenness, there is no disease, there is no crying, there is no mourning, there is no dying. So it is like what he's used to up there is brought down here in the 3 years of his ministry. He's not flipping over what's natural. He is saying, this is what God intended all the time. And one day when your life ends here on earth, this is what you're gonna experience where I come from. What do we pray? What did Brandy pray this morning? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen a lot of these t-shirts. Now people are picking up on this theme, as in heaven. In fact, last year, the great Love Thy City event that was hosted by the churches, the 70 churches in our community, here as in heaven was actually put on the t-shirts. We want what is up there to come down here. And because of that, the compassion of God's people and the churches responded to the needs of the people in our community. We brought the compassion because we want down here to be what is like up there, and that's what we are called to do. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork, created, recreated in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do. So I want to just talk now about healing, because this is what Jesus does in these chapters. He's healing people. He heals this leper, and I want to just categorize healing in three different ways. There's the healing that is physical, there's the healing that is emotional, and there is a healing that is spiritual. There might be other types of healing out there. Those are the three that I want to focus on today. I think we're all aware of the healings of the physical body and what that means to be experienced a healing physically. And I want to just unpack that a little bit because I want to share with you, as I was studying this week, the four ways I think that God heals our bodies. First of all, God heals us naturally. Aren't we grateful that we have an immune system and we have antibodies within us? We have cell reproduction in our body. We have the coagulation of blood. Our bodies are equipped to take the hits of life, to take the viruses, to take the flu, and to fight to restore your health. Is that an accident or is that the grace of God? That is the healing power of God that is innate in all of creation to heal itself. Whether it's a tree that is damaged or your human body that is damaged, you can heal because God has made you that way. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139. We also experience healing through medical science. When the body cannot be healed independently on its own, sometimes we need physicians to do an operation. We need medicines like chemotherapy or radiation or other ones to fight and beat back cancer. There are things when doctors come alongside us, and who has inspired these doctors? And in this community, are we not blessed to have so many physicians who love the Lord and they understand that their calling is to walk alongside the amazing grace of God, use their hands, use their knowledge, use what they've learned in medical science to bring healing to people. But we also know that God not only does healing naturally, does healing through medical science, but we also know that God does healing supernaturally. If Kara was here this morning, I know she's watching online, and Brandy's right here. We have seen supernatural healings in our church. We've had other church members who have recovered from very serious disease and issues this year. And we celebrate that sometimes God says, you do the natural, you do the therapy, you do the recovery, we'll get them in the hospital, but I, through the prayers of people, will step in and I'll do the super. God still brings healing today. And lastly, we know that there are those that are healed by death. If you'd look in your bulletin today, we'd see that Leah and Andrew Philly, Jack and Luke, lost Leah's father to Huntington's disease about 10 days ago. He battled that for 13 years. The last way that God brings healing is through the release to a resurrected body. But I can tell you just by hearing some of the eulogies of the service and also through the testimony of Leah and talking with her is that her father had joy, the joy of the Lord till the end, and he knew where he was going. And they all celebrated in the memorial service that they would be together again one day in glory. That is one of the other ways that God heals us, through God's goodness. Healing comes in many ways. And let me just add to this, the healing that comes through emotional healing. Let's talk about that for a moment. What I've observed at Marvin Church, through the bands and the class meetings, through life to life, through deep friendships and Sunday school classes, through friendships within the church body, there has been healing emotionally of those who bring wounds. Through life to life, we have testimonies of those who have been healed of church hurt because they now have a good friend and trust and they have a wonderful relationship and they see other body of the body of Christ and other Christian believers at work in the way they love each other and they are healed of the church hurt. And the same is true for those who have other wounds in their lives. God is doing an amazing work of healing us emotionally when we hang out with God's people, the body of Christ, and we do the spiritual practices that Brandy was talking about, and we commune together and talk together and share our faith and also share testimonies. Now, it's interesting in chapter 8 that the very, I want to bring your attention where it says the man is healed and Jesus says, don't go tell anyone. And we can have a whole other sermon about that, because if Jesus was going to, you know, using all these healings for publicity's sake, he would have never been able to do his teaching. It would have all been about the healing. But I wanted to point out there, it says, go show yourselves to the priests and offer to the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Let the religious leaders, let the priests in the temple see that you are truly healed. We could talk about the elaborate thing they had to go through, a 7-day process to prove that they were healed. But you know that when this man did what Jesus asked him to do, that those priests had nothing to say about the fact that this, that Jesus can't be a special man, because this man was truly healed. Dane Ortlund observes in his book, The Heart of Jesus, Jesus' deepest impulse, his natural instinct, friends, is to move towards brokenness and move towards sin. And that's where I want to kind of land the plane today. Let's talk about spiritual healing. In my study, I went to my Bible dictionary. I looked up the word compassion. And after it gave me the several words for compassion, both in the Old and New Testament, it made this point. Compassion, when you look at it, is more attributed to God than human beings in the Bible. The same thing is true of the word patient. God is more patient. And certainly the Bible is, let me remind you, a book of revelation about God and our relationship with him. But let me just let you hear this. God is more patient, the most patient, and God is the most compassionate, more than so of looking around and looking at each other. And where do we look sometimes for help? Not from the Lord, but from each other. But God is compassionate and God is patient. And John 5:19, the Son can only do by himself. He cannot do anything by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. And then in John 14, Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father. And what does Jesus say? Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So I want you to see the breakdown here. God's compassionate and patient. Jesus is compassionate and patient. And we are called as the followers of Jesus to be compassionate and patient as best we can with the help of God. I'm gonna wrap it up this way. I wanna just share quickly. You know, this week, part of my disappointment about today was because yesterday we had a lay leadership retreat planned and I was so excited about it. It was not just another lay leadership retreat. It was not just, oh, I gotta be up at church on Saturday now for a few hours. We have, Tom Seal was gonna speak, who is our board chair. We were going to have Linda Armstrong speak, who was our lay leader. I read her talk, I knew what she was gonna talk about. Scott Myers, who's our strategic planner, committee lead, he was going to share his vision of where the committee was going to go. And I read the stuff, and I was inspired by what was coming. And I knew that when you get 100 leaders in a room, and we all hear these amazing talks that have been prepared, and I had prepared one too, and I was excited about it, that we were going to come out of yesterday with a lot of momentum and excitement in the church. The choir was going to be back today, and we were going to have this great worship, and then the weather changed. And I learned once again, Doug's not in control. You cannot control the weather. But part of my struggle and part of my disappointment and part of my wanting to be together today, part of my wanting to be together yesterday was because I was excited as your pastor about what was going to happen in this church in these next months. And it'll be rescheduled. It's going to happen February 21st. But I wanted to start this year with this energy and get us going in the right direction in the same way. And I think that's what Jesus wants to do as well. But let me just say this real quick. Wednesday night, full house for midweek programming. Wednesday night, Life to Life. Micah's here today, got to hear his testimony. What a blessing to be in the room where people were talking about their faith and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Thursday, we started the Frank and Marilyn Booty Christian Leadership Initiative, and that was a blessing. The leaders that are coming up through the pipeline, ready to serve this church, are on fire for God, have deep conversions, experiences, that are motivated to be trained to serve. That kind of restored some of my energy as we were working through the decisions of what was going to happen this morning. So friends, I want to just close by this. Yesterday morning, on Saturday morning, I got a text from my covenant group of guys. I have a relationship with 10 guys. We meet every other week. We encourage each other. And there's Joe Freeman sending out a prayer. And this is how I want to end today. Because of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, I want to close, if you'll close your eyes with me, even at home, just close your eyes and hear as if Jesus or God is saying this to us today. I will heal you. I am the Father of encouragement and the God of all comfort. I invite you to enter into the strong, my stronghold, my dwelling place of beauty. Fix your eyes on me as you gaze upon me and drink of my spirit. My healing power is released within you. My children are loved beyond understanding. I demonstrate my love every moment that I can. Everything I am is everything you need. So God says to us again, come closer, for I am your healer, your father, your hiding place, and you will find transformation and hope like you have never felt it before. Come, come to me, O Lord. Come to me, Jesus, O God of compassion, and heal my wounds today, I pray. For if they are spiritual wounds that need healing, physical, a disease that needs healing, or whether it's the emotional brokenness of my heart that needs to be healed, we trust you, compassionate Jesus, for you are love in the flesh for us. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.